This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Reality TV shows like The Swan or dramas like Grey's Anatomy and The Nick feed audiences that cannot get enough of the operating theater. What if you could get a front row seat to a real live knee replacement or heart bypass surgery? Would you take it? Jamin Warren is founder of Killscreen and host of the PBS digital short Game Show. He's here to tell us about the role that video games and virtual reality might play in training tomorrow's surgeons and entertaining everybody else. Hello, Jamin.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very well. We read on Killscreen about the first virtual reality captured surgery. Can you tell us what it was and why is it such a big deal?
Sure. It was performed in France by a doctor named Thomas Gregory. It's part of a larger project that's part of something called the Movio Foundation. What they do is they fund different projects that are sort of at the edge of medicine, interactive technologies, kind of the future of different types of medical practices. So it's recorded from a head-mounted camera, which tapes from a bunch of different angles. And what it allows is for someone to basically embody the role of what it's like to be a surgeon. They can look left. They can look right. They obviously don't have control over the hands. That's been pre-recorded, although perhaps that might be something in the works someday. But it allows them to see from first person what it might be like to perform a surgery. And hopefully that type of knowledge attained will make it less scary or less stressful when they actually have to do the real thing. One of the other big challenges is that for the attending surgeons, they're busy. They're, you know, helping the chief surgeon, the one who's performing the surgery. They don't have time to sort of sit and watch over. But really what this allows, what virtual reality allows to happen is for not just surgeons, but any kind of complex first-person experience. Virtual reality allows us to record those experiences and then to play them back for other people.
So surgical students, you mentioned first responders. Do you think the general public is going to be interested in seeing a virtual reality surgery?
That's a great question. You know, it's funny, on YouTube, there are lots of really popular videos of different surgical procedures. There's kind of there's definitely a voyeur's mentality. And, that wouldn't be too surprising to me that, you know, some of the shows that you mentioned, a show like The Nick, that maybe someday some, you know, virtual interactive performance of that might involve someone wearing a virtual reality headset and watching over what it would be like to go under surgery. I suspect it might be useful for people maybe who have a fear of, you know, going under anesthesia, perhaps, who want to see what it might be like before they actually have to go and make the jump themselves. But
oh my gosh, I don't know if that would be helpful to me one bit.
Me neither.
This is the first virtual reality capture of an operation, not the first point of view recording. That's been done before.
Yeah.
But what about this kind of immersive experience? What kind of role might that actually play in the future of medicine?
Well, I mean, I could certainly see it as a way for to sort of transition some of the book learning that happens, for doctors in training. I mean, my mother is a doctor, so I remember her pouring through reams and reams and reams of different textbooks. But obviously that doesn't replace the actual experience of being a surgeon and having to cut open your first patient. You know, obviously, performing live surgeries is not something that can just be sort of done at will, but being able to record those experiences in virtual reality, those can be distributed around the world digitally. It allows for people to sort of train, you know, basically to train with the best. If you have one of the best surgeons in the world and you train them performing a particularly complicated surgery, that's now information that's recorded, captured, and can now be distributed to future medical students everywhere.
Jamin, I was digging back a little bit on your Killscreen website and noticed a posting that said both high school sophomores who played video games an average of 2 hours per day and college students who played 4 hours a day matched and in some cases exceeded the skills of residents working on surgeries. So do medical residents use games in order to prepare themselves for surgery?
Well, I think one of the things that you're seeing is, you know, with advances in medical technology, that some of the tools that are being used in surgery, whether it's like arthroscopic surgery, for example, they're using, you know, joystick-like structures. They're using their fingers in a way, in a dexterous manner that might be similar to, you know, perhaps playing a video game. So I think that that's a big piece of what you're seeing there is a comfort with young people who play a lot of video games, the comfort with their thumbs that's now being translated into other fields.
Jamin Warren is founder of Killscreen and host of the PBS digital short Game Show. You'd like to see a particularly clumsy but highly entertaining surgery simulator, and we promise you, you do want to see it. You can visit our website, wordofmouthradio.org.
Oh, you blew it.
My turn.
Take out asparagus for $100.
It takes a steady hand, because if you touch the side...
Here goes a funny bone.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Earlier in the show, we talked about a growing trend among marketers called prankstervising. That's when ad agencies set up hidden cameras and often scare the heck out of passersby or otherwise surprise them in hopes of capturing some raw, unfiltered human emotion, and that video will go viral. If you'd like to see some examples, we've compiled a few of the most extreme at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. We can only protect ourselves from such marketing assaults by word of mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Join us for more Word of Mouth tomorrow at 2 on New Hampshire Public Radio.